Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Recently, I had the honour of being asked by Catherine Sands to launch her new book, Drama Drives Interest, which is the Web Summit story. And a great read it is. And Catherine joins us now. Catherine, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you,
but
Matt.
Just for listeners who might not be familiar with the central characters of this book, just tell us what the Web Summit is. If you're not in the tech sector, you might not know what the Web Summit is. Or at this stage, does everyone know?
Yeah, so the Web Summit is a tech conference company. It was founded in Dublin in 2009, and it has since, I think many listeners will be familiar with its high-profile departure in 2015 when it decided to move to Lisbon, Portugal, where it has been based ever since then. But it's hosted events around the world, North America. It recently has events in Brazil, Qatar. It has events in Asia. So it's a kind of an Irish-founded company that's become very international. They host tech conferences, effectively speakers, in the tech industry, but also outside of it that have, you know, connections to the industry. Celebrities will come and do talks about their startups or their philanthropy or whatever initiative or endeavor they want to promote. People pay tickets. Startups, go to vie for the chance to meet investors who will put money into their fledgling company. Investors go for the chance to see what startup is going to be the next one to kind of strike it big. So it's kind of created this own little ecosystem that it travels around the world with.
A bit like a trade show.
Bit like a trade show, yeah, not too dissimilar.
And it's not, as some people mistakenly might think, populated by tech experts or anything like that. This is actually a conference that travels around the world, but it's big in scale and gets big name attendees.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you can go, I think, you know, usually the events are like over a 4-day period and, you know, you can dip in and out. You can go to some stages. There's a main stage where they'll have the bigger guests and the bigger celebrities. And then there's smaller events popped around. You know, a big part of the company is their night events, their evening summit events where people can mingle and socialize. And it's kind of just, you know, it's a glorified, celebration or a piss up, as they might say in Ireland. But there's a business focus behind it, which I think a lot of conferences share.
Long time Last Word listeners may remember our involvement in some of the early years of the Web Summit.
Yes.
And Jack Dorsey of Twitter, who was somebody that I interviewed at, was either the first or second Web Summit in Trinity College. And we played that interview here on the programme at the time. So the main people behind Web Summit, and this is an issue of some dispute, isn't it? Because there are various partners with different shareholdings in the company who have fallen out with each other.
Yeah, so Paddy Cosgrave will probably be the most well-known to listeners. He is the 81% shareholder of Web Summit. He has become a very well-known and controversial figure in his own right, very outspoken on Twitter with his political views. And he's kind of, as the story, as the title of the book tells, he's kind of stoked drama and driven interest in his company for the last 15 years, effectively. The other two business partners, David Kelly, who is a 12% shareholder, and Dara Hickey, who's a 7% shareholder. So they've been involved since 2010, which, as you've noted in the book and at the book launch, there's some dispute over the 2010 versus 2009 founding date. But they've been involved since 2010. And I think each brought different things to the equation. Paddy was kind of, and is still kind of seen as like the visionary of the company, the person who, kind of really forged a path and what it was going to do. David Kelly was seen as a lot by a lot of staff as a more business minded, you know, more accounts focused person. And then Dara Hickey was more of the, you know, the showstopper. He was the guy that went out and kind of, you know, rubbed elbows with a lot of really, really well-known people and brought them a lot of big opportunities. So I think for a long time, that equation worked really well. It gelled really well, but it faltered. And so some listeners might be aware that there's ongoing, very contentious, very expensive litigation in the High Court between all three of them. breach of director duties allegations, their shareholder oppression claims. You know, they're fighting over stakes in the company, and they're fighting over, I guess, how the past will be remembered for years to come.
This provided you with an opportunity to get access to a lot of material which has been set out in the courts, but I also would suspect provided you with a difficulty and a challenge in that you can't preempt what the actual findings of the courts eventually might be.
Oh, definitely not. And I think like that to be continued aspect of the story probably works well to where it is right now. I say to people a lot that, you know, this story is thorny, it's messy, and it's unfinished. And I think unfinished is probably the most important part about it, because it's going to keep running. And I don't necessarily think that the outcome of the court cases are going to put a pin in all of it. I think, you know, we're going to see these stories kind of unfold and rumble on for years to come.
Now, Paddy Cosgrave also became exceptionally well known amongst the general public a year ago when he had to depart Web Summit. After the October 7th atrocities that were committed by Hamas, his tweets were seized upon by various business elements, particularly in the United States, as being perceived as being anti-Israel. There's a big irony, I think, in this, in that here in Ireland, there was a lot of people had started to ignore Paddy Cosgrave's political interventions or had muted him on social media. And he said something that for once, perhaps the vast majority of Irish people might agree with. Mm. And yet it did him more damage than anything he had done before. Can you explain that to me, please?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it is quite remarkable that, you know, I was 6 months into writing this book when that happened. And I was writing a book about a guy who had kind of gone his whole life stoking controversy for gain and never really crossed the line professionally. And then 6 months into the process, that actually happened, that he crossed the line and that there was a huge repercussion for him and for the company, you know, because we had big name sponsors and big name speakers that withdrew as a result. I think it was one of those things where if he had waited, and I think this comes up a lot in the book, is this impulsive tendency to say something or to kind of have a last word or to have a first word that might not be necessary in the moment. So what's ironic and what you kind of touched on is, you know, if he'd waited 3 weeks, 4 weeks, when the tables kind of turned and we were already seeing the reaction, you know, from Israel becoming, you know, extremely severe
and disproportionate.
And we had figures like the Taoiseach, we had figures like the president basically saying similar things to what he said at the time. I think if he had waited, I think it might not have been as severe, or if he had taken maybe a more nuanced approach at the time. But I think it was his... you know, he shoots from the hip, I think is how somebody in the book describes him. You know, like he just goes straight out there and says...
And when he shot from the hip on this occasion, he took his own foot off.
Yes, yeah, yeah. He fell on his sword.
But he has managed to return to the Web Summit. How did he actually manage to do that, given that he had to step aside from a company which he continued to own? I think the expectation amongst a lot of people was that to save the company, he would probably have to sell it. Not only did he not sell it, but he has actually come back to run it again. And we have a Web Summit coming up in the very near future in Lisbon.
Yes. And the company seems to have plans to expand again in the future. I think, you know, the sponsors that withdrew, some of them have come back. Some of them have been relisted on the website. Other ones have not. They might never return. It remains to be seen. But then again, they might not necessarily need them in the long run. It's really hard to know. I mean, the company is focusing so much now on its international events and on expanding into different regions that the loss of one or two or three big name companies might not hurt it ultimately in a 5 year or 10 year span. But then again, you know, I think these kind of losses may accumulate. So it might be something that, you know, if something else happens or other people feel that bridges are burned in the future, maybe that's something that could keep coming back to haunt them.
But he is back and he is in control.
He is back. He's been CEO since, I think, April officially of this year. There was a CEO, Catherine Maher, who was brought over. She was hired. She was based in the U.S. and she became CEO when he resigned. A very impressive figure. She departed after only, I think, 3 months in the job, or she said she was leaving to take up a job as the head of NPR, which was obviously a very...
National Public Radio.
Exactly,
in the US.
Yeah. Obviously an amazing opportunity. You know, they didn't have a CEO for a couple of weeks, and then Paddy announced his return. I don't think anybody was surprised by that, because he had basically been floating the idea that he was going to come back and that he wasn't going to walk away for a long time. When he first resigned, I did think, oh, maybe this will be his chance to kind of walk away and start something new and show the world that he has more than just one trick up his sleeve. But you know, I think he rightly or wrongly believes that Web Summit needs him at the top.
Drama Drives Interest is the name of the book. Where did the title come from?
So about 2.5 years ago, I wrote a profile of Paddy. It was probably like the biggest profile of him, or the most in-depth one that I had ever done.
This was in the Business Post.
In the Business Post, exactly. And I followed him around Toronto for 3 days and kind of put it all together for some big, long profile. And I was very nervous ahead of it coming out because there were quite a few things in there that were critical of him and, you know, kind of quite a few things that mocked him for certain things. And when it was published, he sent me a private message saying, "Well done, you nailed me," was what he said, and complimented how well written it was, et cetera. And then he went online and put a tweet out saying that it was riddled with inaccuracies and he was going to respond with a legal letter. And I asked him, "Why did you feel the need to attack?" And he said, "Drama drives interest." And I think that's been an experience that a lot of journalists have had.
But does that suggest then that he may not necessarily be entirely sincere in a lot of the controversies that he stokes?
I mean, he has engaged in what he describes as trolling a lot of the time. I think, you know, he has fun kind of, you know, throwing people to the mercy of his followers, or, you know, potentially, you know, attacking somebody online for a perceived slight or for something that he regards as wrong. And I do think that some of that is based on a genuine belief that his voice is one that can right his perceived wrongs in the world. But I think a lot of it is also manufactured trolling. I think it is because he knows that he can get a rise out of people, and it doesn't really seem to bother him.
But does that then suggest that even when he takes things seriously and believes that others should take his interests seriously, that we actually can't take him seriously because we don't know if this is just another example of him trolling or if he's being sincere?
Yeah, I don't know is the answer. I think for a long time people told me that he was very calculated. But it seemed the more and more that I spoke to people, it seemed like a lot of it was impulsive, and a lot of it was emotional, and a lot of it was reactionary. So I guess I just don't know.
There's a lot of things you do know. That's in the book, Drama Drives Interest, the Web Summit story. Catherine Sands, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.